Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Friday. See, I like to let it play out a little bit.
I was just about to say, did I let the music go long enough that time?
No, you gotta let it play out a little bit. You get so anxious, like you feel like you gotta start something. Just be patient. You gotta be patient.
That's something I've never been. Ever. Ever.
It's all part of showmanship. You gotta be a little patient on it. Let it draw out. People enjoy listening to it. I feel like you gotta rush right in. I'm here! Just settle down. We'll start the show. We'll get it going this hour. It's all good. I mean, one of the two of us has gone 51 straight weeks with 1 3-day weekend. The other one's had plenty. So just, you know.
I know. One of these days you're actually going to have to pull your weight around here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've had 1 3-day weekend in 51 weeks. You know that? Okay.
I don't have anything to say to that. You're crazy. How's that?
No, just, you gotta get stuff done. You don't. Yeah, you know, just got a lot going on. No issue here. Yeah. So what do you got lined up for next week's show? Since you're the producer, what do you got?
No. No, I'm producing my own show next week.
Well, next week on the show, this is what we'll have. David Jones, Patriot News. Greg Pickle, Patriot News. Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror from Big Ten Media Days. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Greg Brown, Pittsburgh Pirates.
I had to take off more time because you have some really good shows when I'm not here.
Well, you're here today, and we've already had Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report.
That's a good
point. We're about to be joined by Jack. So, in fact, let's bring in Jack now, and we bring in my broadcast partner. The two of us have somehow, some way, defied the odds and gotten to our 16th year together on the Penn State Sports Network. My friend, it is great to hear you again.
Hang on, I think I lost him. Oh, yes. Hold on, there he is. Nope, that's not it. Huh. Let's see.
Wait, let's see if okay. The audience...
Hold
let's,
on, there's there. This has to here. Be Jack, hang on.
Let's just see if the audience can pick out which ones worked 51 straight weeks with 1 3-day weekend and which ones had repeated vacations. Again, the audience pick out which one that might be.
All right, now I got him on the line.
Unbelievable. It's hard being a hostage. All right. All right.
I did not cut you off, by the way. I hit the wrong button, but it was not intentional.
All right. Well, we've defied the odds, Jack. We're in our 16th year together. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
I love your term, defy the odds. I can't believe it's year 16, Steve. It's gone by very quickly.
Yeah, it sure has. James Franklin called you last week and asked you to come to State College, and you immediately did so. What about the savvy that he has of listening to the fans, listening to the fan base, and to do some of the things he's been able to do, like the jerseys?
Well, you talk about a head coach having a feel for it, and he seems to have the feel of, or the pulse of, you know, the fans, the football team, you know, it's just something that, you know, I don't think you can learn that. I think I just think it's in his DNA. And, yeah, you're without question. He said 7 o'clock in the morning meeting up at his office, and, you know, I said, yes, I would be there. I didn't really know what it was all about. And then he explained to me and a number of the other lettermen there about taking the names off the jerseys. And I think it was right when O'Brien put the names on, and I think the timing is absolutely perfect about today. You know, making that's a great tradition Penn State has had over the years, and it makes Penn State just a little bit unique in this cookie cutter type world. It's good that we get back to that tradition where football is about the team and the name on the front of the jersey, and not an individual thing. And I think the players responded to that, and I think they're excited about it as well.
When you talk to the other lettermen, they share that excitement, the fact that it was a return to a tradition.
They did. I mean, I think to a man, all of us were more excited. And I think just trying to explain to the players, you know, what this meant. I mean, it's very special at Penn State. We're just a little bit different, and we take pride in the fact of it's a team game. It's a team sport out there, and the individuals is just part of it. And I think that's a great thing about football is when you can – you know, individuals can lose themselves into one common goal about winning games and winning championships. I think it's a very special feeling, and I've enjoyed it throughout my college and pro career, and we just try to convey that to the players.
Now the football team will be convening here in just 2 weeks to then get ready for the upcoming season. When you look back, Jack, defensively at what they did last year, you know, what they did, let's start with what they did against the run. Give the fans an idea of what it means when a team can stop someone against the run.
Well, I think in defense, you want to make an offense, and in college football especially, it's so wide open here right now, but you want to make an offense one-dimensional. And I think if you look back and when you look at championship teams, and look at Ohio State, the way they were able to run the table, I mean, they had an offensive line that got better and better each week. They had one of the most outstanding running backs, and you and I both liked this kid from day one. He had 220 pounds, and you know, behind that line and his power and speed running game that he had, it really puts a defense off balance. So if you defensively can eliminate the running game from an offense, I mean, that's the physical part of it, and that's the physical part of football. You can take that away from it, and then you can do a lot of things. You may want to play nickel on first or second down because you can hold up against the running game, and you're not concerned about it. So, you win championships, I think, with making an offense one-dimensional and shutting down a running game. If you can't do that, I mean, and that team gets balanced in their offense and they're running the football and play action off of that, then you're in for a long afternoon. So, yeah, the quality teams out there do a great job of making sure they stop the run.
The next part, Jack, is a pro quarterback's out there working all the time, and false pre-reads can send them into a play that that ends up being a disaster for them. When you can give false pre-reads on this level, how much trouble can you give a college quarterback?
You can give a college quarterback nightmares in that situation. And even last year, Bob Shipp did a good job of making sure, you know, you didn't get into it too early. There's a lot of movement on defense before the snap of the football, and that's when that quarterback's trying to look, especially down at the safeties, and trying to get any kind of a pre-read he can on a coverage. But Penn State defense did a great job of being patient and getting into, if it ended up being a blitz, almost like a rolling blitz in the sense of linebackers, got his momentum almost timed up with the quarterback's cadence in a sense. Not showing your coverages, you know, to that quarterback and being patient and until the last second is a big part of making sure that quarterback is confused back in the pocket and he's dropping back and he's not sure what that coverage is out there. So that's a key thing. I mean, it drives pro quarterbacks crazy if you can do that, and that it's a big advantage when you can disguise coverages that well.
You just mentioned the word patience. Whether it's offense, a quarterback, a running back, a wideout, or a defensive player, what does it take
at any level to develop patience in this game, and how important is it, Jack?
Oh, it's I don't think people talk about how important patience is. Your defensive line, you jump into a gap at the last second, right before an offensive line has already made, they've already made their calls. They made their calls and how they're going to slide a protection. And at the last second, you may have Zettel or Johnson or whomever drop down into a gap right before the snap of the football. Those are the things that's from playing the game. And now we've got guys with a lot of experience, obviously, on the defensive side of the ball. And at the last second for a defensive lineman, that's a patience he needs. Or the linebacker on the edge who's going to blitz off the edge, not showing it until the last second. And sometimes the quarterback doesn't even see him. And also the running back can't get out to pick him up. So all those things. And in the secondary, which I think Penn State will have an outstanding one this year, is those safeties got to make sure they give bad pre-reads to a quarterback. So, yeah, have patience. Keep your poise until the last second. And normally you get into that when after maybe a couple of series where you get the feel of the cadence of a quarterback, that's where a veteran defense can really take advantage of a young quarterback.
Linebacker play important. I remember when we went to practice, it was before the 2013 season, and you and I lamented at the lack of depth because sanctions are not an excuse. Sanctions are a reality.
Right.
And you and I, I'm sick of hearing, the excuses. No, there's a difference between an excuse and reality. And you and I looked at the numbers at linebacker, and we said to each other, they have to all stay healthy. Now they had more depth at linebacker, but let's take the guys up front. What does it mean to linebackers when you have a Zettel and a Johnson in front of you to set you up?
I'll tell you, Steve, my college days, I played behind Mike Reed and Steve Smear, and my pro days were behind Joe Green. So I know about quality defensive linemen. And when you have guys like Zettel and Johnson up front that can just, they're playing across the line of scrimmage with that offensive line, and you get that push up in the middle. That's where your linebackers can feel going forward towards the line of scrimmage, and you're not going laterally making a tackle for a 3, 4, or 5 yard gain downfield. Those guys, in all honesty, you're as good a linebacker out there as the front four you have in front of you, and it can make your play a whole lot easier with that kind of a quality group. And having a push like that with these guys, and not just the starter, there's a lot of depth at that defensive
right.
line. And getting, there would be a lot of rotation in the third and fourth quarters of the games with all the plays they have out there. But with that kind of a quality in the defensive line, where the linebackers can make a lot of plays right at the line of scrimmage, and that's exactly what you want your linebackers to make tackles. And like I said, not laterally 3 or 4 or 5 yards downfield.
Last year when Penn State was going into training camp, they had two guys that had played offensive line, Donovan Smith, who had started, and Angelo Mangiero. This year they'll go into camp with at least 7 guys that have had game speed. How valuable is game speed to the development of a player?
I think it's huge for the offensive line, much more so than probably any other position out there. I mean, you have got to have a group playing together, and that's what they're going to have the experience from last year. And no question about it, it was a tough year for the offensive line to try to get any kind of cohesion out there. But, getting that experience and, getting beat up, quite a bit as well, I think it bodes well. And now those guys have come back bigger, stronger, with a little more experience. They know how to play the game and at what level they have to play to get a running game going. And boy, I'll tell you what, it can make this football team just get a bigger push on third down and short yardage situations where you keep the football late in the game in the fourth quarter. You keep drives alive where you keep your defense fresh. It's going to be critical for this offensive line, I think, to play well. But in that experience from last year and coming back now, and not that I'm thinking this is going to be Anthony Munoz out there and a whole bunch of all pros,
right.
But I think it's an offensive line that will be playing much better. And with that, I think you'll see this offense really get back to where they were maybe 2 years ago.
Let's get that the running back part. Running the football is one thing. I know there are a lot of things about Keel Lynch that we like. There are a lot of things about Mark Allen and Nick Scott we like. But at the same time, what can a running back in the pass game mean? As much as we love the ability to throw the ball downfield by any quarterback and the excitement it brings to it, what can a running back mean in the pass game?
Well, in a pass game, and if Penn State gets into third and fours and third and five situations, a lot of times that best corner is going to be on Penn State's best wide receiver. That may be a matchup on Hamilton. We'll see how, and when Penn State has a number of great wideouts coming back this year with a lot of experience as well. But the mismatch you're going to get a lot of times is going to be that line outside linebacker matched up on a guy like Akil Lynch coming out of the backfield, or Allen, or whoever it may be, who understands how to run routes, how to get squared up on a linebacker where you have a two-way go. A lot of times if you do that and they clear out the middle, you beat a linebacker in the middle of the field, there's a lot of running room. If Hackenberg gets the football to him, it's an easy throw as well, right down the middle. Those are matchups that are going to be, I think, a big mismatch situation in favor of Penn State, because those running backs now should be able to understand the passing game over there, and Hackenberg knows where he can go to his back out of the backfield, and that can be a mismatch against a linebacker that our running back should beat almost every time. So, you're going to have nickel packages sometime, and if it's a safety, you got a 220-pound guy like Akil Lynch, and he'd be more physical against a safety who doesn't handle playing man-to-man on a back out of the backfield. That's something the safeties are real comfortable doing as well. So it could be a mismatch on the physical side the other way. So I think our running backs this year especially, I think, going to have an opportunity to be much more involved in the passing game and even in motion. When we motion them out of the backfield, we'll see whether a linebacker goes out there with a guy like Akil Lynch and or Allen.
If I were to rack up a tape of Le'Veon Bell, would that be a good example for any running back?
Well, Le'Veon Bell ran a post pattern out of the backfield. He went in motion, then he ran. You don't normally do that. Normally it's a check down or it's a swing out of the backfield. And at the play, he got hurt and was out for the playoffs, which is a big loss for Pittsburgh here. The post pattern downfield. He is about as good running the routes out of the backfield, and made a big year for Roethlisberger percentage-wise, because you're dumping it off to a guy. And like I said, it's an easy throw for the quarterback. Right. And I can see Hackenberg going a lot to his backs out of the backfield. And then you have to creep up defensively. And you guys are catching the ball out of the backfield, making somebody miss, and you're gaining 10, 15 yards downfield. Then you creep up, and then you go to your wideouts downfield as well. So I think it's with the weapons we have at the wideout position, and now with the skill set at the running back who can't come out of the backfield, this offense should be a whole lot better this year.
As you know, there are a number of things I keep on one of those charts somewhere. I mean, you and I don't have a lot of stuff in front of us. I mean, we really don't. We're just kind of
because we can't remember a lot.
I think that's an age thing. But one of them I have on there, I always make sure is I keep track of, and I rarely use it because, it sometimes doesn't come into play, is the field position part. Last year, Penn State, in games that they won, the seven that they won, they were plus 3 yards per possession in field position. In the games they lost, the six losses, they were minus 9 yards per possession. That brings up special teams in the kicking game. What kind of growth does Penn State need to see there, Jack, to make it a better season?
Well, I think, again, when now you have more scholarship players out there than we've had in the past. And it seems like, Steve, in the 16 years, we've been waiting for our kickoff return man to come out and do a great job. I think Larry Johnson was the last guy I can remember who really did a great job on kickoff returns for us, because he was 225 pounds back there and ran through a lot of arm tackles.
And he had a feel.
And you practice that in spring practice. You practice in preseason camp. But I'm not sure, you're right. You have to have a sense and a feel when to hit it, when to time it up with your blockers up front. And it seems like for a number of years right now, there's been that disconnect in a sense on a kickoff returns. And, you don't want to, when an offense struggling last year, like Penn State's offense struggled, you don't want to be starting, a lot of your possessions inside the 20-yard line a lot of times. And other times we end up getting penalties and push back as well. And so that's got to be this year a emphasis for Franklin to get that kickoff return and those plus yards upfield, positive yards on kickoff return to give Hackenberg and the offense really good field position, because you can be a little more aggressive now if you got the ball out beyond his 30-yard line or thereabouts, and then there's a lot more things you're comfortable running out of your offense when you're out there, and so kickoff return is going to be huge. But you're right, we've got to find that one guy who's got that feel for it, and I think it's something that's got to be in their DNA. I'm not sure it's a coachable thing.
All right, exactly. Well, for some odd reason, this is always easy.
I think we enjoy talking Penn State football, Steve.
I think we do. This is how we talk on the phone.
Exactly right.
Hey, partner, always great. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Steve. All right, thanks.
Jack Hamm, my broadcast partner, 16 years. I've had what I think are five major breaks in my career. Five major breaks. And the first one was getting the football job, because it was a life changer. The second one was getting paired up with him, because you always want to work. I have always strongly felt that you always should try to work with somebody that can make you better. You can argue about how good you think I am. It's subjective. But I can tell you from my personal point of view where I sit, I know I'm exponentially better as a football announcer because I work with Jack. Probably the third one would be working with Dick Girardi. Again, you can argue about how good you think I am as a basketball broadcaster. I know I'm exponentially better as a basketball broadcaster the day I started working with Dick. And then the other two major breaks would be early in my career. I had great mentors in Gil Santos, John Grant, Fran Fischer, great mentors. But having the ability to work with Gil, not just listen to, but work with him, allowed me to learn from somebody where I picked up so much from by discussion and by example. And the fifth one, believe it or not, is this. Doing this show. This is a huge break for me in what I'm doing. And being paired with Kevin. And that has been as much fun as we have. Mr. Vacation and I have just enjoyed, in now our fourth year of doing that. And it has been the greatest local radio experience of my life. So I've been very lucky, but it started back, like I said, breaks one and two deal with our previous guest. Bottom of the hour, we need to take a break, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Final half hour is an open line on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
The record will be broken. That's right, the 100-year record is going to be broken this month if Sunbury Motors sells 80 new Fords by July 31st. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Focus for $6,863. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Ford Escape for $19,993. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under 30 grand. Sunbury Motors isn't taking this record lightly. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Sunbury Motors before August 1st. If you want 0% on your next 2015 Focus, Fusion, Escape, Explorer, or Expedition, SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors will sell 80 new Fords by July 31st. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be to save more money on your next new Ford.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you, and Brewers Outlet is the place we need to go to for the best in imports, domestics, and microbrews. Nice to settle down on it. It's got a little more humidity this weekend. After you're done cutting the lawn, you want to kick back, have some people over. Kevin's having a huge party on Sunday. Everybody's invited.
In my yard, that'd be about five people. It's not a really big yard.
Yes, but it's the patio, and it's the entire, you know, the deck and the patio. I mean, that's why it eats up so much of the yard.
Oh, yeah. That and the, the enormous in-ground pool.
Really, I didn't bring you on to brag. All right, so.
I don't know whose backyard you've been hanging out in.
But Brewers Outlet not only has the best in imports, domestics, and microbrews, they also have peanuts, fresh, hot, roasted every day. Bags are right there at the register. Pickle bar is second to none. And on top of it, they also have snacks, water, soda, all that and more. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. For a party, for me, it's one-stop shopping. Easily. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Jack Hamm for being on the show today. Also to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Remember, the Steve Jones Show podcast, if you missed anything, just check that out there. We have all the interviews ready to go for you there. Coming up next week, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror, is going to join us from Big Ten Media Days. Greg Brown, Pirates broadcaster, is scheduled to be on next week. Greg Pickle from Penn Live, Patriot News. And David Jones, also on next week as well from the Patriot News. So that's next week's lineup. We have now hit the stage of the show where we've hit open lines at 800-795-9565, which now allows us to revisit the Kevin memo that always starts the show, but we're going to bypass that. Okay, so what we're going to... Here's something. Here's an item I found interesting. I know that we are a CBSSports.com group. I got it. Okay. But something very interesting happened this afternoon on ESPN.com. Colin Cowherd on his show on ESPN Radio nationally made a couple of statements about Dominican ball players. It was condemned by the Major League Baseball Players Association and by Major League Baseball. What's interesting to me about it was that, but then the next step is that ESPN.com put the story on the front page.
Well, he's not going to be working for him much longer anyway, so.
Exactly my point. He's departing. Would they have done that had he had signed a long-term contract with them? If you see my point. In other words, we do stories about him now. He's not going to be, he's leaving. So here's what he said. Are you aware of what he said?
I'm not aware of what he said, no, the exact wording, but I did see bits of, I did see what you're talking about.
I'll read the story for you directly from their site. The flap stems from Cowherd's comments on Thursday, which were made while debating whether it was difficult for a front office executive to take over managerial duties. Using current Miami Marlins general manager slash manager Dan Jennings as an example. Cowherd said yesterday, it's baseball. You don't think a general manager can manage like it's impossible? The game is too complex? I've never bought into that. Baseball is just too complex. Really? This is where he gets the, it goes downhill.
This is where it goes off the rails.
A third of the sport is from the Dominican Republic. That's not true. The Dominican Republic has not been known in my lifetime as having world-class academic abilities. A lot of those kids come from rough backgrounds and have not had opportunities academically that other kids
from other countries have. Baseball is like any sport. It's mostly instinct. A sports writer who covers baseball can go to, could go to Tony La Russa and have a real baseball argument, and Tony would listen, and it would seem reasonable. There's not a single NFL writer in the country who could diagram a play for Bill Belichick. You know, we get caught up in this whole thinking man's game. Is it in the same family? Most people could do it. It's not a concert pianist. It's in the same family. Well, it drew the ire of Toronto Blue Jays slugger Jose Bautista. First of all, let's just point out to you that players in the Dominican Republic, there are 83 on opening day rosters, which is actually 10% of all major leagues, not a third. Bautista said, "Dear Mr. ESPN Colin, before I rip you a new one, I would like you to explain what you meant about baseball and Dominicans, please." ESPN issued a statement Friday concerning the original remarks. Some of Colin's comments yesterday referencing Dominican Republic were inappropriate and do not reflect ESPN's values of respect for all communities. Colin's only response today addressed the importance of making sure his opinions are fact-based and responsible for all people. Let's see. So what did he say today? Let's see. Tony Clark made his statement. Let's see. Okay. All right. On Friday, he addressed his remarks Thursday. "I could have made the point without using one country, and there's all sorts of smart people from the Dominican Republic. I could have said a third of baseball's talents being furnished from countries with economic hardships, therefore educational hurdles. For the record, I use the Dominican Republic because they've furnished baseball with so many great players. I understand that when you mention a specific country, they get offended. I get it. I do. And for that, I feel bad. I do. But I have four reports in front of me where there are discussions of major deficiencies in the education sector at all levels. It wasn't a shot at them. It was data. 5-7 years ago, I talked about the same subject. Was I clunky? Perhaps. Did people not like my tone? I get it. Sometimes my tone stinks. I think when you host a radio show, just like Jon Stewart hosts a show, I think sometimes I bring up stuff that makes people cringe. I'm not saying there's not intelligent, educated people from the Dominican Republic. I cringe at the data, too. First of all, I don't understand why I know you're on for 3 hours in a day. I understand that. I mean, we're on for 2 hours in a day here. I mean, there are a couple things every once in a while we want to take back, such as, you know, I don't understand why the wide receiver isn't plowing over the guy 35 yards away. Yeah, sure, I understand that.
I'm listening to you. I heard it. I don't take it back, but, you know, I get your point. There are some things you say that you're like, okay, maybe it wasn't.
You should.
Maybe it wasn't the brightest thing.
You should take that back. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe that wasn't the brightest thing to say. I've run into that a time or two in my life.
I'm kidding. There's nothing wrong with what you said at all. Nothing. Okay. I just have a little different viewpoint on the relevance of it. But that's all. And that's nothing. That's just part of the show. But I don't see why we are now today in a spot where it may not be an area where you stand out when you do it, but you almost have to do enough things where you can talk about specifics and opinions, but you can't delve into other areas. You can't delve into race, creed, origin, any of that. You can't. You just can't. Because it's going to be called into question no matter what your intention happens to be. It's just a fact of life today. If you step out of line in those areas that I just outlined for you, you will be immediately either crushed by a caller or crushed on Twitter. And I'm not saying they're wrong for crushing you. I'm saying you will be. It's just a fact of life. There's also no need for it. If you think baseball is a game where the acumen to handle the strategy of the game is easier than football is, just say it. You think it is, right? Guys at the plate, you know, here's the lineup, guys at the plate, let's go hit and run. And, you know, meanwhile, the football coach is out there, diagrams this play, and it's got to work. You know, it's 11 on 11 and so forth. Okay, fine. That's the way to go. There's no need to bring up at all the educational opportunities in other countries. You know, education comes in all different forms. Education can come from job performance. Education can come from a classroom. Education can come from life. There's all sorts of ways where education comes. You can be the most educated guy in the world, right? Or woman. Most educated guy or woman in the world. And guess what? You can't manage a baseball team. But you may be somebody that's come up in the game with incredible instincts for the game because you learned it. You've lived it. You've watched other people manage it. You've picked up from mentors. And guess what? You're a highly educated baseball person while also being highly educated in life along the way. Anytime, college is a great thing. There's no question about that. And an education system is a great thing. Obviously, I've sent my five children all to college. I am college educated myself. But my father wasn't college educated, and neither was my mother. And you know what? They did a great job. A great job. My grandparents weren't educated. They came from the Azores on my mother's side. Got into this country, made a life for themselves, did extremely well, and also taught me things along the way that were important, just like my parents did. And they didn't go to college. In fact, on my mother's side, I was the first college graduate ever on my mother's side. So when it comes to throwing out education anywhere, you even have to be careful in doing that. Because guess what? There are a lot of extremely intelligent people that don't have a college degree. And are people that I look at that have taught me a lot in my life. There are not prerequisites to success. Where you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. No. Okay? Everyone comes from different circumstances and uses their own devices for success. And you don't put down anybody from any, you know, I don't care what the data says. Each individual is judged on their own merit. Always. It's not the be-all, end-all. There has to be one way of doing things. Okay, there are a lot of pathways to success and a lot of pathways of education to get there. Some of it's in a classroom. Some of it's in life. Some of that's from mentors. Some of that is from on-the-job training. All pathways to success. There's not one way. That's why I always laugh. You didn't go to college. So? Really? I'll be the judge of whom I consider to be smart and whom I consider to be someone I wouldn't turn to for anything. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Great to have everybody back. We head to the weekend. Hope everyone has a great weekend. Kevin's off for the next week.
after going to the south of France. I guess this time, what, Asia?
I'm not sure. I think I'm going to tour Europe and Asia and see if I can get it done in a week.
Fabulous. It's always good to have goals.
Actually, I made a mistake. I actually have hotels booked in Brazil. The problem is I didn't realize I was a year away from the Olympics. It was very sad, but now I don't want to lose my deposit.
Well, that's okay, because the rates are probably lower now.
And I will talk to you in a couple of weeks, because I'm hosting a week of Best of Steve Jones Show when I return.
Words that shouldn't go together.
Believe it or not, I found a few.
Even blind squirrels find acorns.